a Reliance picture released through United Artists. Harry M. Goetz presents an Edward Small production of James Fenimore Cooper's classic of early America, The Last of the Mohicans. With Randolph Scott, Binny Barnes, Henry Wilcoxon, Bruce Cabot, Heather Angel, Philip Reed, Robert Barrett, Hugh Buckler, Willard Robertson, Lumsden Hare, Frank McGlynn Sr., Will Stanton, and William V. Maughan. Directed by George B. Seitz. Screenplay by Philip Dunn, from an adaption by John L. Balderston, Paul Perez, and Daniel Moore. Associate Director Wallace Fox, photographed by Robert Plank. Art Director John Ducasse Schultz, Musical Director Roy Webb, Film Editors Jack Dennis and Harry Marker, Assistant Director Clem Beauchamp, Research Director Edward P. Lambert, recorded by John L. Cass. Starring Randolph Scott as Hawkeye, Binny Barnes as Alice, Henry Wilcoxon as Major Hayward, Heather Angel as Cora, Hugh Buckler as Colonel Monroe, Bruce Cabot as Magua, Philip Reed as Uncas, and Robert Barrett as Chingachgook. 1757, the Seven Years' War shakes Europe. France and England fight on three continents, with North America at stake. George II, German George, has called to his side the great commoner, William Pitt. Outside St. James Palace in London, soldiers parade. Inside the palace, plump King George helps himself to a buffet as he meets with his advisors.
Your Majesty, North America isn't worth the trouble. Let Montcalm invade it. Withdraw our forces and concentrate our armies here in Europe, the main theater of war.
Newcastle wants to give the country back to the Indians. What do you propose, Mr. Pitt?
To reinforce Colonel Monroe at Albany, sire. Move General Webb up in support. Drive the French out of North America as we're doing in India.
For a wilderness.
For the raw material of an empire, sire.
The king smiles.
And what did the Duke of Marlborough say?
I agree with Mr. Pitt entirely, sire.
Is the War Office prepared?
Major Hayward is ready to take the next packet to the Americas. He will carry out dispatches and remain there, second in command to Colonel Monroe.
Do you think you'll find any difficulty in adapting yourself to a new country, Major?
British Army has always adapted a new country to England's army.
You may proceed, Mr. Pitt. You have carte blanche.
Thanks, Your Majesty.
Pitt, the Duke, and Major Hayward bow and withdraw.
Your Majesty, Pitt's as mad as a hatter.
Your Majesty? I wish he'd bite some of my other ministers.
The king bites the end off a fat sausage, then lifts a magnifying glass to peer at a map. He focuses on Albany. Weeks later, in the bustling colonial town, an elegant carriage pulls to a stop in the main square. Two Yankees in coonskin caps watch Major Hayward step down. He turns to them.
You direct me to Colonel Monroe.
Well, you'll likely find him at the platoon's house at Anson.
Hayward looks in the direction indicated. As he strides off, his diminutive coachman approaches the Yankee.
Are you in the habit of addressing officers with a pipe in your mouth?
No, sometimes I chew snuff.
The coachman steps around them to unload the major's luggage, which is piled on top of the carriage. As he struggles to reach a trunk,
we'll give you a lift, soldier.
The two Yankees toss him right up on top of the luggage. In a well-appointed ballroom, elegantly attired guests dance a minuet. A lovely young lady smiles at her partner.
Your presence, Miss Cora, changes this Dutch village into paradise.
Lord, sir, you're so impetuous, you frighten the wits out of me.
Nearby.
This is the first time I have seen your daughter Cora so gay, so carefree, Colonel.
Yes, my dear. The girl had a sad experience. The young man she was to marry lost at sea in a naval engagement. I thought this trip might help her to forget.
A servant approaches.
Pardon, my man. There's an officer to see the Colonel.
Colonel Monroe puts down his drink.
Duncan Hayward! Why? What wind blows you to America?
Good to see you, sir.
So, you've bedeviled Marlborough into granting you a furlough after all.
No, sir. Important dispatches.
Oh, action at last. Well, I'm in need of brush with the French. There's Taylor Ditchwater here.
While he scans the dispatch, Hayward looks around.
I suppose you know what this says.
Yes, you're looking very well yourself.
Is it?
Monroe looks at him in confusion.
Oh, I see. All right, go and find Alice. But report back to me in half an hour.
Thank you, sir.
Last time I saw her, she was in the garden with a very attractive young captive.
I arrived in the nick of time, didn't I?
Tall and aristocratic, Hayward makes his way through the ballroom to the garden. As he looks around, an attractive young lady tiptoes up behind him.
Looking for someone, Major Hayward?
Alice! Jove, I've looked forward to this.
She resists his embrace.
You haven't changed a bit, Duncan.
Oh, can you blame me? You've no right to look so beautiful.
As gallant as ever.
You're just as cruel. After I've braved the wide Atlantic to be by your side?
Yes, I suppose you do deserve a reward, don't you?
She kisses him lightly.
Well, that's a very small kiss after such a long journey. You know, I had hoped you might have changed your mind about me.
I haven't, Duncan. I'm sorry.
Is there no chance that someday it might be different?
It isn't fair to ask you to wait.
You see, a British officer never gives in without a struggle.
Spoken like a true Briton, sir.
And Miss Monroe, you may consider yourself in a permanent state of siege.
I shall welcome it. Come on, let's find Cora. She'll be delighted to see you.
Oh, yes, how is your sister?
Oh, ever so much happier here.
They head back inside. As they enter the ballroom, the minuet comes to an end.
Gentlemen of the regiment, attention! Your colonel has orders.
Colonel Monroe steps up on the stair landing and faces the guests.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. All officers must report to their quarters at once. We march tomorrow.
Next morning at headquarters, a well-dressed Yankee enters.
How are you, Colonel?
How are you, Winthrop? This is Major Hayward.
Mr. Winthrop, how do you do, Major?
Colonel, I think you're going to be a little short-handed. My men seem to think this is all your fight and none of theirs.
Winthrop, my orders are to advance my entire command to Fort William Henry. Engage Montcalm until reinforced by General Webb. The War Office didn't realize that half my command were colonials. However,
Monroe stands.
We march today, with or without you.
Whether we go or not is for my men to decide.
Enter sound the assembly. We'll talk to them.
Yes.
Outside.
Howdy, Hawkeye. Ain't seen you in a tune, Dave.
Hiya, hey. Hello, Z. What
brings you to town?
I've been trapping up on the border. What are you boys trying out for?
British want us to march up to Fort William Henry with
them. Yeah? What's the matter? Haven't you enough trouble here at home?
Tall and handsome and dressed in deerskins, Hawkeye joins the crowd outside headquarters as Hayward and Monroe come out on the porch, followed by Alice and Cora.
Men, Colonel Monroe has asked me to say a few words. Having just arrived from England, I can assure you that His Majesty King George is eager for your support. I feel sure that as loyal subjects of the Crown, you'll be glad to render this valuable service to your King.
Just how far from the settlement will this campaign take us, Major?
To the main outpost, Fort William Henry.
Why, that's a good 2 days' march, maybe more.
It should be enough to remind you that France is our enemy.
Your enemy, not ours.
Sure, we ain't a-fighting France, you are.
We ain't a-fighting no one, except vengeance. I ain't fighting them if I can help it.
Wait a minute. This isn't war. This is merely a skirmish.
Then you'd better get ready to skirmish, because I've just come from trapping on Lake George, and here on Walport is a canoeing down from the border.
That's all the more reason, then, for you colonials to join us.
You can do what you want with your own scalps, Major, but don't start telling us what to do with ours.
An Indian steps up on the porch.
Hey, where are you going, Indian?
Hey, Magua, scout. Come see Big White Chief Monroe.
You colonials. By helping us to defeat Montcalm, are helping yourselves to defeat the Hurons, who are the allies of the French.
Yeah, and while these men are cooped up in Fort William Henry, let the Indians burn their homes, butcher their families.
Magua reaches Monroe.
See Montcalm. Montcalm? Why, that means the French are...
Alarmed, Monroe steps to the porch railing.
Men, I just learned the French are advancing on Fort William Henry. You know what that means? If they break through, they and their Indians will loot and pillage every settlement this side of Lake George.
Are you going to let that happen? or are you going to help us to stop them at Fort William Henry?
Winthrop raises his arm.
Wait a minute, boys. I believe the men will enlist, sir, on one condition. If the Hurons break through, let them come back and protect their homes. How about it, boys?
All right. Agreed.
What do you say, men?
Most of the colonists agree. As they begin to disperse, Magua watches them. So does Hawkeye.
What do you say, Hawkeye? I had my say.
Inside.
Well, you've learned your first lesson about the colonial. He'll play the game, so long as you don't try to make rules for him.
We were lucky to get out of that, sir.
Yes, you need a bit of luck in this country, my boy.
Alice approaches them.
Who was that man talking back to Duncan?
Oh, a fellow the Indians call Hawkeye. He's a scout. Very good one, I understand why.
I thought we hanged traitors.
Yeah, so did I.
Well, this is a country of forests, but I doubt if there'd be enough trees to go around if we started hanging people for speaking their minds. Oh, I'll run along and peck. When you keep one man waiting, it's coquetry. For 1,000. Huh. Treason.
As Alice goes out, Magua slips in the front door.
Oh, Magua.
The Indian steps over to Monroe's desk.
Take this to the quartermaster.
He scribbles a note.
Give me some tobacco.
He hands the note to Magua, who folds it carelessly, and then leaves.
Sullen beggar, that.
He's the best scout I have. He's a Mohawk. I had to give him a taste of the cat once, but it made a man of him.
As he probably deserved it.
Outside on the porch, Magua tears the note to shreds and disdainfully tosses it aside. Hawkeye and his two Mohican companions, Uncas and Shingashkuk, watch Magua stalk off through the crowd.
Magua, I wonder what that weasel's doing here.
Him scout for Yengeese. Mohawks take him in tribe, make him blood brother.
Mohawk, he was born a Huron. I bet a rifle against a powder horn, he's still a hero. Come on, we'd better warn Monroe.
Cora jumps on the lid of a trunk, which Alice is trying to lock.
It's the petticoats that make it so full. Nothing like a woman's modesty to take up space.
Hawkeye comes into the room with Uncas and Shingashguk. Alice walks over to them.
Well?
I want to talk to the colonel. They told me he was here.
Colonel Monroe is not here.
Cora's eyes are drawn to the handsome young Mohican, and Uncas is equally drawn to her.
I'm sure the colonel would not be interested in anything that you might have to say.
You'd be an awful fool then, ma'am. I came here to be of service to him.
You of service? If you want to be of service, why aren't you in uniform?
Maybe I've got too much sense to wear a red coat in the woods.
Perhaps you'd be interested to know that the colonel is my father.
I'm not, ma'am, not a bit. You see, I wanted to...
I said the colonel is not here.
Uncas and Shingashguk go out. Hawkeye starts to follow, but then turns back with a grin.
You're sure of that?
I'm positive.
Alice closes the door behind him. Soon after, as the troops form up in the square, Alice and Cora come out dressed to travel. Magua stares at them. And then steps over to the colonel.
They come too? Yes.
You think it's safe, sir?
Oh, for those seasoned campaigners, my boy.
Magua knows short trails. No good for army, good for small party.
Splendid. You hear that, Hayward?
If you don't mind, sir, I'd like to accompany the young lady.
Well, that's one way to enjoy a walk. Come along.
The regiment departs with Monroe, Hayward, Alice, and Cora leading the way on horseback. Magua walks beside them. Behind their regimental colors, drums, and fifes, the British soldiers march out smartly. A Yankee preacher blows a note and begins to sing. Winthrop, flanked by two horsemen, leads the colonial troops in the march. Hawkeye, Uncas, and Shingashguk watch the parade from the sidelines. As the troops continue marching through town, they wave to the crowds gathered to see them off. The regiment moves into the woods. Magua steps off the path and raises his arm to Monroe.
Short trail here.
Monroe, his daughters, and Hayward stop their horses behind Magua.
Goodbye, dears.
Bye.
Monroe kisses them.
Bye.
Bye.
Give my regards to the commandant. You'll be there hours before we are. Take good care of them, Major.
We'll take care of him. Uh-huh. We're the veterans here.
Yes, yes.
Hawkeye, Uncas, and Chingachgook watch as Magua leads Hayward and Monroe's daughters deep into the forest. Hawkeye and Chingachgook look at each other in concern. Alice, Cora, and Hayward rest by a fire.
I thought I may be a very excellent guide, but as a cook, no.
Careful, Duncan. You might hurt his feelings.
I think he's got any feelings.
Never mind, Duncan. We'll be at the fort tomorrow.
Yes, we're wasting time. Here, you, get these things packed up.
Magua gathers their belongings. Soon after, Magua stops and holds out his halter to Hayward.
What's that for?
You take him trail, me follow.
Why?
Magua forget to put out fire.
All right, go ahead.
Hayward takes the rope and Magua retreats.
These Indians are terrified of forest fire.
They can burn up the whole country as far as I'm concerned.
Cora smiles as they continue on across a shallow stream. Meanwhile, Magua throws leaves onto the smoldering fire and then covers the embers with a thick blanket. He lifts the blanket in the middle and then pulls it away, causing the smoke to waft upwards. Another Huron, standing watch on a cliff, spots Magua's smoke signal and calls to his fellow warriors. They look up. Soon after, Magua halts Hayward, Alice, and Cora.
Get down. Water our horses.
Don't be a fool, man. Never water a mount when he's sweating.
Magua smirks.
White chief, right. We wait.
Four Hurons, weapons in hand, run down a rocky path toward them. Alice, Cora, and Hayward wait in the clearing.
That fellow's taking long enough watering those horses.
Duncan, do stop grousing.
That's all nonsense. Here, you, hurry up!
At the water's edge, Magua sees the four Hurons creeping closer. He stands. Hayward turns.
Duncan!
As the Hurons come into the clearing, Magua holds Hayward back.
My people.
Oh. What do they want?
Magua stalks toward Alice and Cora.
One pale-faced squaws.
What?
Hayward jumps Magua. The Hurons pull Hayward off Magua and tie Hayward's hands behind his back.
Magua, great warrior. His white chief Monroe whipped Magua like dog.
And you deserved it.
Now Magua wipe out scars. Pale-faced squaws live. You die. Huh?
As Alice and Cora are dragged away, Hawkeye and his companions arrive. Hawkeye raises his musket. Cora's captor is hit. Then, so is Alice's captor. Magua looks around. As Magua and the Huron scatter, Chingachgook aims his musket, and a Huron falls into the water.
Cora, get him up here. Quick!
Uncas and his father hold their weapons victoriously. Hayward raises his musket.
Don't shoot! Can't you see they're different from the others?
I don't trust any of them.
Hawkeye launches a tomahawk at Hayward, knocking the musket from his hands.
If your aim's as bad as your judgment, Major, I don't imagine there's much danger of you hitting him.
What are you trying to do?
Among other things, trying to keep you from being burned at the stake, if you aren't too green to...
The Mohicans scalp the dead.
Tell him to stop that!
Too late to put them back. And scalps to the Indians, Major, like your medals, and got them by the same means. Killing.
Hawkeye and Hayward glare at each other.
Well, we better get back to the main track and join the column.
You'll never get through. You better come with me.
I'm quite capable of taking care of these ladies.
Hawkeye smirks.
So I notice.
What's that? Wolves?
On two legs and headed this way. Follow me.
Our horses, where are they?
Had them killed.
Killed a fool? What for?
Indians can hear a horse for miles in the woods.
Chingachgook urges Hawkeye to hurry.
Come on, grab a musket.
The Mohicans lead the group out of the clearing. Hayward stops to help Cora and Alice up a small incline.
Come on, follow Mohican.
Hawkeye looks back, then quickly follows the group as a band of Hurons run after them. Hayward helps Cora cross a shallow stream. Alice and Hawkeye follow behind.
Wait a minute. Give me that lace piece.
What?
Listen.
Hawkeye takes Alice's scarf, weighs it down with grass, and then tosses it downstream where it catches on a branch. As they hurry upstream, the women struggle with their heavy, wet dresses. The Hurons cross the stream and then examine the ground for tracks.
Horse trail this way.
Magua leads the way and his band follows. Hawkeye's group runs up a small hill through thick brush. Exhausted, Cora falls and slumps against a tree.
Cora, come on.
Come on, let's keep moving.
Alice and Hayward move Cora along. Again, the Hurons stop to search for tracks. Magua finds the trail and motions for the others to follow. At a clearing near the water, Uncas and Shingashguk stand watch.
Rest now.
Alice and Hayward sit on a log and catch their breath.
I hate running away like this. I'll wager that fellow's exaggerated the danger.
Why should he? He doesn't impress me as a man given to exaggeration.
Nearby.
Maybe here on canoes in cove.
Yeah, maybe.
Shingashguk walks off, and Hawkeye follows.
Chief daughter rest.
Uncas watch.
I think I shall.
Uncas watches Cora adoringly as she lies down. Meanwhile, a Huron finds the scarf.
Magua! Who are that here?
He hands it to Magua.
That's it, get your good.
Magua considers the scarf, then looks at the water.
No. Hawkeye make false trail. Ochoa!
Magua urges his band on. While a Huron tends to their canoes, Hawkeye and Shingashguk creep up behind them. Shingashguk flings his tomahawk and the Huron falls to the ground. Hawkeye and Shingashguk rush to the canoes and cut them free. The Hurons run through the stream. As Hawkeye paddles away, the injured Huron moves.
I wonder if he can be trusted.
What makes you think he can't?
After all, he's little more than a white savage himself.
Duncan, don't be such a bear.
Uncas gently covers Cora with an animal pelt. As Hawkeye paddles toward the clearing, Uncas spots him.
Okay, Shingashguk.
Uncas and Hayward meet the canoe while the Hurons press on through the thick brush.
Come on, into the canoes.
Now, wait a minute. Where do you think you're taking
it? Major, I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm taking the latest. But if you'd rather wait for the Hurons, that's your affair.
The injured Huron fires his musket.
Yeah, that? Come on.
They hurry to the canoes. Magua and his band find their injured warrior.
You gotta hope he's getting safe.
Okay. He points to the river. Then Magua and his men notice their canoes are gone. Hawkeye's group pushes off while the Hurons jump into the remaining canoes. Hawkeye's group hurries down the river with the Hurons hot on their trail. The Mohicans, Hayward and Cora, paddle furiously through rapids while Hawkeye and Alice follow right behind. At the front of his vessel, Magua paddles vigorously. Hawkeye raises his musket and hits the Huron directly behind Magua. Hayward aims his musket, and another Huron falls. Alice quickly loads a gun, then hands it to Hawkeye. He shoots and drops another Huron into the river. The Hurons retaliate.
Take the left fork, beat it by a cave. I'll lead them all.
When they reach the fork in the river, the two canoes separate. The Hurons follow Alice and Hawkeye, and then fire. The bullets pierce the canoe.
Hawkeye, no!
Alice frantically bails as water seeps into the canoe.
Keep on paddling. We're trying to shore around the next bend.
As the Hurons accelerate their speed, Hawkeye and Alice turn around the bend. In their frenzy, the Hurons paddle past Hawkeye and Alice, who are hiding behind a large bush.
That was a bit close.
We're not out of it yet. There's a cabin ahead where we can get shelter until sundown.
Hawkeye leads her to shore. As they come to the clearing, they find the cabin ravaged and the inhabitants slain. Stunned, Hawkeye slowly walks toward the burning remains of the building. Only the chimney is standing. As Alice moves near, Hawkeye stares at the destruction.
What happened?
They've had their hair cut by Huron barbers.
How can you speak so unfeelingly?
I'm feeling, Miss Monroe. I knew these folks and blazed the trail that brought them here. This is how my parents died, fire and scalping knife.
It was terrible.
This won't be all. With the men at Fort William Henry, no son will be safe.
Will you accept my apology for what I said when I first met you?
That's all right. You didn't know any better.
I do now.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
We'd better get back to the canoe.
Later.
It's dark now. What are we going on?
Just as soon as I finish patching the canoe.
You know, I keep thinking there's an Indian behind every tree. A scout feels very uncertain.
You don't scare easy, do you?
I'm with you, and you seem to know your way about the woods.
I ought to. The Mohicans raised me after the massacre. Never saw another settlement till I was 10.
And this has been your life, this forest?
Yes.
Aren't you ever lonely?
Lonely?
Yes, I mean curious about the rest of the world. London, for instance.
A man could spend a lifetime exploring this country and never walk the same trail twice. Men have only touched it. Way out beyond the Ohio is a land where no white man's ever been. Every time I open up a new trail, I like to think that others will follow. Maybe someday build a big city at its end. I wonder if you can understand what it means to be first.
I think I can.
Suddenly, Hawkeye spots a deer running by.
Something frightened that deer.
Well, maybe we did.
No, we are downwind. We better get out of here.
They pull the canoe toward the water. Meanwhile...
Fools separating our parties like this?
Two party alive. Good. One party dead. No good.
Chingachgook crouches down.
What on earth are you doing?
Listen to Beaver. Downstream, Indian sentry. When canoe come, Beaver flap tail.
Uncas turns to Cora.
Hawkeye brings sister so.
Oh, I do hope so.
Hawkeye find way. Like Indian. Hawkeye same as Uncas' brother.
And the other one? Is he your father?
Chingachgook, Sagamore. Great chief of Mohican.
And you?
Uncas, little chief.
He points to his turtle tattoo.
This mean Mohican chief.
Mohican? Are you taking us to your people?
All my people gone. Killed in Huron War. Once many warrior in tribe. For many summer, this our hunting ground. Now only Chingachgook and Uncas left.
You're all alone. So am I. My warrior died at sea.
Chief?
In your way of speaking, yes.
Then your son would be his.
a chief.
Makes life real sometimes.
Uncas reaches into his bag while Shingashgook frowns disapprovingly.
Here. You eat.
Mohegan chief, no wait on squaw.
Uncas moves away from Cora. A beaver flaps his tail and then swims away. Shingashgook points.
Someone come.
The three men are armed and ready. Alice and Hawkeye pull the canoe ashore.
Thank heaven, you're safe.
Alice, he was so worried.
Cora, you weren't afraid?
No, not at all. You were perfectly safe. Duncan, I think you owe this scout an apology.
Well, I apologize for mistrusting him, but I shan't forget his influence.
There's lots of time to settle our differences, Major. In the meantime, we've got to think of the latest.
I agree. I suggest we get some sleep now and leave at sunrise.
We leave now, but we'll never see the sunrise. Come on.
Hayward hesitates and then follows the others. Fort William Henry at the head of Lake George. Later that night, British soldiers pace the fort. Colonel Monroe and Winthrop pass sleeping soldiers and mount the stairs to a parapet. Monroe approaches a sentry.
Any sign of Major Hayward's party yet?
Not yet. I wouldn't worry about that, sir. One of the horses may have gone lame.
Look. There's a flicker in the woods.
Those are picket fires.
Frank, come here.
Yes, sir.
Our comms got us surrounded.
Horror, Alice, they'll never get through.
Colonel Monroe races across the fort while the soldiers jump into action. The colonial troops take their places on the parapet. Across the lake, the headquarters of the French general, the Marquis de Montcalm. The French soldiers stand at attention as Montcalm arrives on horseback. Montcalm approaches the captain.
I hope your earthworks are built to last, Captain. Our British friends are not too hospitable. We may be knocking at their door for months.
A log covered in foliage floats toward the fort. Huron warriors on the French side raise their muskets. Hawkeye's group is hidden in the branches of the log. Montcalm lifts his arm.
Wait! We brought you here to shoot redcoats, not floating logs.
Logs float against wind.
As the log settles on shore, Hawkeye's group runs toward the fort. The French and the Hurons attack. British soldiers wave the party into the fort. Cora leads the exhausted group through the crowd of soldiers into Colonel Monroe's office. Monroe meets his daughters at the door.
My darlings, you're safe at last. You're safe. Come.
Are you hurt, Major?
Oh, my poor dears. Just look at
you. Take
them
to quarters. Get them dry clothes.
All right, Father.
I'm very grateful. I'll never forget this.
Well, don't thank me, sir. The credit belongs to this scout.
I hadn't suspected you as an ally.
I'm not. My only reason for helping the Major was because of the ladies.
At any rate, accept my thanks.
Hawkeye nods and shakes Monroe's hand.
Will you come to the colonel's quarters later? I'd like to thank you also.
I'll attend to that, my dear. I'll reward him personally.
Major, any reward I got coming from you, I can do without.
Hawkeye walks toward the colonial troops standing nearby. They greet him warmly.
Alice, need you be so familiar with that fellow?
Duncan, you're talking like a fool.
On active service, discipline's an important thing.
I was only thanking him for saving our lives.
Well, need you be so effusive about it? After all, you're the colonel's daughter, you know.
When you say things like that, Duncan, I like to think that it's the army talking, not the men.
Alice leaves abruptly. In Montcalm's tent.
How many Yankees in the fort, Mugwa?
2,000.
And their wagon?
15 wagons.
They'll be short of provisions soon. We start pounding tonight, messieurs. Tonight, sir.
That night on the parapet, Hawkeye turns to Shingashgook.
We leave as soon as the moon sets.
Chingachgook looks across the fort in concern as Cora and Uncas stare into each other's eyes.
I wonder if we'll ever meet again.
Some trail cross many times. Some trail cross only once.
I shan't forget you, Uncas.
He brightens.
As many dawn as are mine, so many shall my prayer to the Great Spirit be for the one with the moon in her hair.
Touched, Cora stares at him intently. She smiles, squeezes his arm, and leaves. Uncas is mesmerized.
Pale face squaw, no good Mohican. Fair hair make heart of Uncas weak like water.
You can't blame him, Sagamore.
Chingachgook frowns.
Hawkeye's heart weak like water.
Hawkeye smiles to himself as Chingachgook sternly walks away. Alice walks up to Hawkeye.
You were going to leave without coming to see me.
I'm not much of a hand at saying goodbye.
But you'll never get through.
Sagamore and I'll have to take our chances.
Tell me, why are you going?
Well, I haven't changed my mind. The Colonials made a mistake when they came here, and there's not much reason for me to stay.
Seems you have a healthy contempt for everything British, haven't you?
I haven't noticed the British busting in their chairs whenever they see me.
That's because they don't know you as I do.
Chances are you'll be court-martialed if they catch you talking to me.
Alice looks out over the fort wall.
I came to ask you to stay.
You know I don't belong here. There's a fence between your world and mine.
And you have a trail to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very sad trail that leads back to New Orleans.
There's an old Indian saying, a trap awaits the otter who follows the same trail twice. No, it just doesn't make sense, you and me being friends.
I don't care whether it makes sense or not. I'm asking you to forget logic and reason. Won't you please stay?
Looks like Montcalm means business.
Yes. We're surrounded and badly outnumbered. We need every rifle.
Hawkeye gazes into Alice's eyes.
Sounds like the French have changed my mind.
Alice surprises Hawkeye with a kiss, then dashes away. Fort Henry is urged into action. The French assault the fort with cannon fire, while the British scramble to defend themselves. During the commotion, the Yankee preacher throws up his arms patriotically.
For the colonies! Shoot straight and true! Put your faith in heaven and keep your powder dry!
The colonists roll the cannons into position and fire.
Man of guns to right, fire rapidly! Get the wall, you men! Don't fall back!
The Hurons' bows and arrows prove ineffective against British artillery. At the fort, women participate in the war effort by loading muskets and tending to the wounded. Later, the Hurons shoot flaming arrows, igniting small fires around the fort. The French blast a parapet filled with British soldiers. As the fires spread throughout the fort, the British attempt to douse them with small buckets of water. For 10 days, Fort William Henry is mercilessly pounded by the French, its weakened garrison outgunned, outnumbered, its power and provisions running low. On the British side, the colonists work tirelessly. As a burly Yankee stops to rest, the preacher reaches for a piece of bread.
Double duty like this calls for full rations. Not hardtack and water.
Courage, my boy. Let us praise the Lord that he may vouchsafe to us, as to the Israelites, his manna in this wilderness, even if it is made of plaster.
Attention!
The fatigued British soldiers stand.
At ease.
Monroe approaches Hayward.
No sign of reinforcements yet?
None, sir.
I can't understand it. We're only 15 miles from Fort Edward. Webb's had over 10 days to get here.
It's possible that his reinforcements from England haven't arrived, sir. So the War Office assured me they'd be sent at once.
War Office? They don't know this confounded wilderness. I could lose an army between here and New York.
He glances at his napping men.
Good devils. Huh? The soldier is cursed to suffer in silence.
A soldier's privilege, sir. Pity we haven't more men to fight.
Or less to die.
Hayward follows Monroe to his quarters.
But surely, sir, the French couldn't have intercepted all our runners.
Well, what else? Is there no reply from General Webb? Well, at least I'm glad they carried verbal messages and not written ones.
Perhaps one did get through, sir, but the message might not have seemed as urgent to General Webb as a written dispatch.
Yes, he's right there, sir. He certainly wouldn't ignore a message in your own hand.
If he got it.
Well, an Indian might get through, sir.
Yes, you can try again. All right, let one start at dark.
Yes.
Monroe begins to write. Later that night.
All clear, Hayward?
All clear to the outer defenses, sir.
Pity we couldn't hold them. We could have covered the lad better.
Monroe turns to Uncas.
Guard these dispatches with your life. We're depending on you. Good luck, lad. Get up on the parapet. Cover him.
Hawkeye turns.
Uncas, watch shore of lake. Many Huron canoes and reeds.
They part ceremoniously.
All right, Hayward.
Uncas cautiously peeks out the door, then darts behind a cannon hold. Hawkeye and Winthrop ready their weapons as the young Mohican runs toward the forest. From the reeds, a Huron shoots an arrow at Uncas, but misses. Hawkeye guns the Huron down. Another Huron hurls a tomahawk, injuring the young Mohican. Hawkeye shoots the second Huron.
Keep it up! Hawkeye, keep it covered!
All right, go ahead!
Hayward runs toward the forest after Uncas. As a Huron warrior aims his musket at Hayward, Hawkeye shoots him.
Me all right. Load this.
Hayward rushes to Uncas' side, while Hawkeye eliminates another Huron. Carrying Uncas on his back, Hayward hurries toward Fort Henry. Hayward carries Uncas back through the cannon hold and into the fort. While the soldiers tend to the wounded man, Hayward frantically searches for the dispatch in Uncas's pouch.
Is he badly hurt?
No.
Good lad. Take him to the dressing station.
Easy, lads. Careful now.
As the soldiers carry Uncas away, Hawkeye grabs Hayward's arm.
He's my friend. I'm grateful.
Hawkeye extends his hand.
You can save your thanks. I couldn't let this dispatch fall into enemy hands.
Hayward walks away. Cora enters while a doctor examines Uncas.
Is he all right?
Right as rain. Tomahawk wound. Knocked him unconscious, but did no permanent damage. We'll have him around in no time.
Cora takes Uncas's hand.
You did your best, Uncas.
Uncas touches Cora's engagement ring.
Chiefs mark my people.
Do marks speak?
It says Semper Valor. That means always brave, like you.
Your warrior.
My warrior who died in the sea. Far away.
Holding back her tears, Cora pats his hand and turns away. Outside, Chingachgook watches disapprovingly as Cora leaves the infirmary. Hawkeye approaches the Mohican chief.
How is he?
Bad. Got squaw fever.
Hawkeye grins. Unamused, Chingachgook holds out an arrow.
Ottawa arrow. Go through Uncas bullet pouch. Ottawa like Huron. No good. Burn. Kill pale face. Slow death.
How many in that tribe?
Many, like leaves in forest.
I think we ought to take a look at their camp.
Hmm?
We can get to them through the swamp.
at the Huron village.
Our brothers, the Ottawa, go to English village, take scalp.
Hawkeye and Shinashkrook cautiously wade through the swampy waters.
Not all Hurons go to village, some stay here. If French take Monroe's fort, we take plenty English scalp.
Nearby, the two men observe the Hurons as they dance ceremoniously around a fire with their weapons. Magua incites the warriors into a wild frenzy. Hawkeye and Shingashkuk slip away from the powwow unnoticed.
We saw them, heard them. Magua's waked them into a frenzy. If they and the Ottawas raid the settlements, it'll be the bloodiest massacre the frontier's ever known. And the blood, Colonel, will not be entirely on their hands.
But my good man, I tell you, Montcalm's in command. And I assure you, he's a soldier and a gentleman, not a butcher.
And I assure you that he can't stop them.
We can handle the situation when General Webb arrives.
He never will arrive. And anyway, Montcalm outnumbers you and Webb combined. You're short of food, supplies, munitions.
We'll defend our colors to the end, sir.
And the end will be the massacre of women and children left unprotected because of your stubborn pride.
You forget yourself, sir.
Perhaps I do. But I didn't forget your promise that the colonials would be released if the settlements were menaced.
My promise still holds good. But I must have more definite proof than your word.
His word was good on this frontier long before you came here, Colonel.
There's no use continuing the argument. The situation demands the colonials stay.
If this is an example of British colonial policy, we'd do better to make our own peace with the French.
That's sedition, sir.
Well, whatever it is, it's the truth.
I'm under an obligation to you, so I won't have you whipped from the fort as you deserve. But get out of here.
Major, I think someday you and I are going to have a serious disagreement.
Quite probably.
Hawkeye stalks out. Later that night, Captain Winthrop's troops pack up.
All right, boys.
All right, Captain.
Winthrop walks over to Hawkeye.
All right, Hawkeye. I'm then ready to go.
Good. Strike for the east side of the swamp till you've cleared the French picket lines. The Hurons are holding a powwow, so you don't have to worry about them.
All right, boys. No noise. Keep close to the man ahead of you.
Yeah, we should have skinned out of here long ago.
The colonists gather their belongings and quietly escape one by one through a hole in the wall of the fort. They slowly make their way toward the forest. Winthrop approaches a colonist and the Yankee preacher.
Did you fellas go in? We ain't got no families, Captain. Figured we'd stay here and give the redcoats a hand.
I too. When you have no ammunition, you need prayer.
Mm-hmm. We'll keep an eye on the redcoat sentries.
Oh, you mean to say you weren't coming?
No.
Well, but
don't talk. Hurry. You got to clear the French outpost by dawn. Good luck, Captain.
They shake hands, and Winthrop joins his men. Hawkeye signals to the Mohicans as the last of the colonists exit the fort. Hayward approaches two guards.
Well, what is it?
He sees the escape.
Stop them! Turn the guard!
As a guard takes aim at the colonists, Shingashkuk attacks him. Uncas grabs the second guard, and Hawkeye takes on Hayward. The two men struggle fiercely until Hawkeye gains the upper hand and strikes Hayward, knocking him to the ground. More British soldiers rush to the parapet. With great difficulty, they pull Shingashkuk and Uncas off the guards and yank Hawkeye away from Hayward.
Two men, get down to the colonial camp, see what's the matter. Put these men in arms. Sentries, get back to your post.
The Mohicans and Hawkeye are escorted to their cell. The next morning, the prison guard stands at attention as Alice approaches.
I want to see the prisoner. I'll only be a moment.
Certainly, Miss Monroe.
He opens the door for her, and she enters. She peers into the cell.
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye turns and moves to the barred door.
Sorry, I can't ask you in.
Hawkeye, why did we do it?
You saw a settler's cabin after an Indian raid.
Oh, but this is different. Why, it's mutiny, it's desertion.
Maybe it is, but what they're doing is murder.
I don't know the wrong or the right of it. All I know is that they hang traitors. And they'll hang you.
Knowing redcoats, I bet they don't tie the knot right.
You should have gone when you had the chance. Why did you stay?
At the Fort Falls, we may have trouble with the Indians.
I thought your duty was with the settlement.
I guess now my only duty is here.
So it was on my account that you stayed.
He gently touches her hand.
It can't make any difference if you know it now.
Perhaps there is a chance I can make them understand.
She squeezes his hand, then leaves. In her father's office.
Can't you see what he did was heroic? He knew the consequences and stayed to face them. Why, you're not hanging a man for mutiny. You're hanging a man for doing what he thought was his duty. Oh, Father, can't you see how unjust it is?
Monroe pats her arm.
I'm sorry, Iris.
Duncan, can't something be done?
No, he knew the regulations and he knew the penalty for breaking them. I can't understand a man sending a woman to plead for him.
He didn't send me. You know he wouldn't ask you for anything. He hates you. And so do I for saying such a thing.
I apologize. But why are you here? You know the army, its regulations.
I'm here because I love him.
Hayward looks down.
Yes, I thought that was it. Alice, you know I'd do anything I could to keep you from being hurt. Even to saving this traitor. But the man's beyond pardon. It's the army, it's justice.
Disheartened, she starts to leave, but turns back sharply.
Justice. If that's your idea of justice, then the sooner the French guns blow the English army out of America, the better it will be for the colonies.
Alice, you don't know what you're saying.
Oh, yes, I do. For once in my life, I'm speaking from my heart, not out of an army book of regulations. And if it's sedition, well, I'm proud of it.
Messengers from General Webb approach the hidden French picket lines.
Have you any idea where we are?
About 5 miles from the fort, sir. We better hurry. We won't reach the French outpost before daylight.
The Hurons are staked out behind a bush. Webb's messengers approach unsuspectingly. The British are taken by surprise as the Hurons attack with full force. While the other warriors take their British scalps, Magua reaches into a messenger's pouch and removes Webb's dispatch. Montcalm reads the dispatch from General Webb, explaining that no reinforcements are available and advising Colonel Monroe to surrender Fort Henry.
You've done well, Magua. Order a parley, should
I? Montcalm and his men promptly disperse, leaving Magua staring ahead thoughtfully. Back at Fort Henry, Cora enters her father's quarters.
I'm sorry, Father, but Alice wants to be alone.
It's incredible losing a head over this man. I'm recommending clemency to the Indians, but the scout knew what he was doing.
Hayward marches in and salutes Monroe.
Montcalm is asking for a parley, sir.
Parley?
Well, we needn't guard it, sir.
I don't know.
Monroe sits down.
Give the men a rest. Until Webb arrives, every hour counts. All right. If the Frenchman wants to talk, we'll oblige him. Turn out a guard of honor.
Yes.
Duncan leaves. Monroe strokes his chin pensively. French and British soldiers march toward one another in an open field. On both sides, the flag bearer carries a white flag. Colonel Monroe, Major Hayward, and several British soldiers march solemnly toward their enemy. From the bushes, the Hurons watch the procession, grim-faced. Magua pays close attention. Flanked by their men, Montcalm and Monroe meet face to face.
Colonel Monroe, I have known you as a gallant antagonist. I am happy to make your acquaintance as a friend.
And I to make yours, Monsieur le Marquis.
I have long realized that even outnumbered as you are, it would be merely a waste of breath to invite your surrender.
You are correct in that assumption, Monsieur.
As a soldier, I know that one of your courage does not surrender until his cause is proven hopeless.
Monsieur le Marquis, I am a soldier, not a diplomat. You have called this parley for a better reason than an exchange of compliments. What is it?
My scouts intercepted a dispatch intended for you.
A dispatch, Monsieur?
Read it.
Montcalm nods to his major.
Colonel Monroe, Fort William Henry. No reinforcements available. Transports delayed by storms at sea. If you cannot retreat, advise immediate surrender of Fort William Henry. Signed, Webb.
Monroe grabs the letter.
This may be a trick, sir.
No. Webb's signature.
You have no alternative, Colonel. Your own general advises surrender.
I know the temper of our men, sir. I'm sure that rather than spend the rest of the war in a French prison hulk, they'll fight to the end.
You've heard your answer, Monsieur le Marquis?
He salutes.
Good day, sir.
No, Colonel, I beg you not to sign the death warrant of so many brave men. Listen to my terms.
Which are?
The fort must be destroyed. Your men must lay down their arms and return to England. Further than that, ask what you will.
The honors of war?
They are granted.
My colors?
Take them to England. Carry them to your king.
Monroe glances back at the bullet-torn flag above Fort Henry, looks down in defeat, then faces his adversary with dignity.
I accept your terms, sir. The fort is yours.
Montcalm extends his hand. Monroe hesitates, then humbly accepts it. Tattered British flag is lowered. And then replaced by the French flag. In his quarters, Monroe stares out the window reflectively as Hayward enters.
Shot the end to a career, boy?
No, sir, you did all you could, sir.
4 o'clock. Daylight soon. Transport's ready?
Yes, sir. The men will be ready to march in half an hour.
The girls been called yet?
They're dressing now, sir. Shall I have assembly started?
Monroe nods and Hayward leaves promptly. At the gate to the fort, Magua raises his arms.
French say peace. They say bury our hatchets. Plank the Huron warrior dead. Our hatchets should be red with the blood of our enemy, but they are bright. We have no scalp. We are without honor. There are plenty of English scalps. We get them.
The French guards quickly shut the gate. As the Hurons light their torches, they charge the fort. They ram a log against the gate and burst inside, knocking the French guards out of the way. The warriors attack the British soldiers with a deadly force. A Huron removes a British scalp triumphantly. The French guards are no match for the hundreds of Hurons pouring into the fort.
Close the door!
Cora quickly rushes to the door and locks it. Terrified, Alice and Cora embrace each other tightly. Pandemonium prevails in the violent and bloody battle.
The Indians have broken into the fort. They're massacring the garrison.
No. Reinforce the guard, Chevalier. Summon the 5th Regiment.
Montcalm grabs his jacket. Meanwhile, the Hurons torch a British wagon. The prison guard is shot dead. As a Huron moves in to claim the scalp, Hawkeye and the Mohicans grab the warrior through their salvars. Hawkeye wrestles the Huron's weapon away and then chops up the log. Monroe leaves his quarters and then runs to his daughter's door. Magua appears with a musket. He fires and Monroe falls to the ground. Alice grabs a gun and stands in front of Cora. As the Hurons burst into their quarters, a Huron falls dead. Magua and his men charge at the women and drag them away. As Hawkeye and the Mohicans break free from their cell, a Huron lunges at Hawkeye. He picks up the warrior and throws him out of the way. The three men beat their way through the mob. As the preacher tries to grab Cora, Magua bashes him over the head. Hayward spots Monroe. As another soldier comes to the colonel's aid, Hayward runs to Alice and Cora's room and finds it empty. He rushes to the window and sees Magua carrying Cora out of the fort. He tears off after them. But as he reaches the gate, he is seized by Hurons. Hayward pushes them away, then shoots one and stabs another with a sword. Hawkeye and the Mohicans fight their way through a bludgeoning throng of warriors. The 5th Regiment of French soldiers arrive and free Hayward from his attackers. When he gets to the gate, he is too late. There is no sign of Alice or Cora. The Mohicans carry the wounded preacher to safety.
The young ladies, Magua took them.
Magua. They're heading off to their own country.
Yes, yes, go. Save them.
Hawkeye and the Mohicans bolt out of the room. With bayoneted muskets, the 5th Regiment forces the Hurons out of the fort. The Huron warriors wave British redcoats jubilantly as they leave. Montcalm approaches Monroe, who is lying on a makeshift bed.
Colonel Monroe, I've come to beg your forgiveness.
Forgiveness? For a victory, General?
I'd rather have defeat than a victory such as this. As a soldier, I've known both. But this is the first time I've ever known disgrace.
The disgrace was not yours, General. No one could stay the savagery of the Union. I'm proud. My last battle was lost to you, General. There's no sting in being vanquished by such an adversary.
I'm more grateful for those words than I shall be for His Majesty's decoration.
We've looked everywhere for your daughter, sir, but can find no trace of her.
But we shall continue the search, Colonel. Every British officer shall be given his parole to look for them.
It's my turn to be grateful, General.
A French soldier hands Montcalm a sword.
My men recovered your sword from the Hurons. I beg to return it to you.
Thank you, General. I shall need it.
Monroe closes his eyes and his head shifts limply. A British soldier checks the colonel's pulse. And then the preacher solemnly doffs his hat. As both the French and the British soldiers salute, Montcalm respectfully places Monroe's sword on his chest and clasps the colonel's fingers around the handle. Early that morning, Hawkeye and Shingashko follow Uncas through the forest. They spot something and hide behind the trees. Hayward runs toward their hiding spot, but doesn't see them. Shingashgook sneaks up on the major with his musket. Hawkeye approaches them.
What you stalking, Robin Redbreast? Worms?
Shingashgook tosses Hayward's gun to Uncas.
Well, now that you've tracked me down, I wish you'd get on with the shooting and spare me your wit, such as it is.
Tracked you down? Shoot you? No, Major, when I go hunting, it's after mountain goats. not sheep. I guess we're on the same mission. I'm looking for the young ladies. Are you headed in the wrong direction? Better come along with us.
Yen Gi's warrior like white squaw in forest. No good.
It's his right to come.
Hawkeye gives Hayward his gun back.
I'll join you, but I want you to understand that I still consider you a mutineer. And if ever we're under British jurisdiction again, I shall enjoy pressing charges against you.
We understand each other, Major.
Hayward takes his gun, and they start out. Later, by a stream, Hawkeye removes a small object from the water and hands it to Uncas.
They took to the stream to keep us from knowing whether it went up or down. Uncas, try upstream with the Major. We'll go down.
Uncas leads Hayward up the stream.
Please come over a mile. They must have gone the other way.
Look.
Uncas grabs a rock from the water and wipes his hand over it.
Don't turn.
Hayward rushes over to shallow water, and then he and Uncas search the muddy ground. Uncas spots something in a bush nearby.
Cora's ring. Good girl.
We're going to get the others.
No, wait. No time. Leave my fault.
Uncas carves four marks in a tree trunk. Then the two men hurry on. Uncas and Hayward slowly creep up over a ridge and peer down into the Huron village. They watch as the tribe celebrates their victory. Later.
Magua brings squaw to council house. Let Magua tell council what he wishes.
Magua turns to the frightened women and pulls Cora forward.
This one Magua take for squaw.
Take your hands off her.
What of this one?
This one like warrior.
She die in fire.
We'll die together.
This my squaw. My son, she is unwilling.
I took these women, it is for me to say.
Manitou has given us a law. It is for law to say.
What kind of a law could you have?
White squaw, listen. Our fathers planted corn, hunted deer in these forests. Many moons before white man's war canoe crossed Great Salt Water. Our law is good. It is squaw's right to choose between Magua and fire.
Magua, wait till sunrise for answer. Bring them my house.
The sisters run to each other. Then the Hurons take them away. Uncas and Hayward watch as Cora and Alice are escorted through a mob of Huron women who swat at the sisters with tree branches.
They come soon. Must be quick.
Hayward draws his gun, but Uncas stops him and pulls out a tomahawk.
You watch.
Uncas leaves. Inside Magua's tent.
Squaws wait to see you in fire.
Magua lifts back a flap to an adjoining room.
Come.
Reluctantly, Cora and Alice go in. Magua goes to the front of the tent and looks out at the Huron women trying to push their way in. He shuts the flap angrily.
Cora, they're offering you your life. How can you even suggest such a thing here?
Outside, Uncas squeezes past a loose fence pole and sneaks into the Huron village. Alice and Cora are startled as someone rips through Magua's tent. Uncas points to the other room. Alice nods and goes to the front to distract Magua.
I want to talk to you.
Why you come out?
Quick,
come. Cora hesitates, but then grabs Uncas's hand and follows him. Pushing Alice aside, Magua enters the room and discovers the gaping hole at the back of the tent. He hands Alice over to his guards and then rushes out as Uncas and Cora creep out of the village. Magua rallies his warriors to split up and search the area. On the ridge, Hayward spots Cora and Uncas squeezing past the loose fence pole. He starts to climb down.
Hawkeye!
Hawkeye and Shing Ashkook turn as Hayward runs toward them.
Uncas got away with Cora. Big war party up.
Which way?
Follow me.
Uncas and Cora hurry across a small waterfall, then run along a path that leads to a cliff. Uncas helps Cora up the rugged trail. Magua and his men cross the waterfall. Then Magua spots Uncas and Cora above him.
Ohican!
Uncas and Cora continue upward, with the relentless Hurons closing in on them. Uncas climbs over a rock.
Go on, Uncas. Save yourself.
No. Uncas, never leave you.
He lifts her up. When Uncas and Cora reach the plateau, Magua fires at them. They run hand in hand to the edge of the cliff and look down. Uncas knocks out the first Huron with ease, but against Magua, Uncas has met his match. Cora watches in horror as Magua strikes Uncas, and the young Mohican falls off the cliff. Magua looks at Cora.
Mohican dog dead. Now you Magua squaw.
As he steps towards her, she throws herself off the cliff. Magua looks down in disbelief. Below, Uncas struggles across the rocky ground toward Cora's lifeless body. He places his hand, which bears her ring, over hers. Looks at her tenderly. And then dies. Shing Ashkook, Hayward, and Hawkeye spot Magua and another Huron on the cliff. Shing Ashkook fires his musket. As the other Huron falls dead, Magua looks down.
Oh, Hawkeye.
He lowers Hawkeye's gun.
I go.
Hayward starts to follow him.
Stay here.
You can't let him go alone.
They must settle it by their own tribal laws. We can't interfere.
They watch as Shing Ashkook moves toward Magua.
Magua! Come down!
Magua throws his musket away, and so does Shing Ashkook. With tomahawk in hand, Magua descends the cliff. Shing Ashkook pulls out his own tomahawk and waits. Magua stalks toward Shing Ashkook, threateningly. They stare each other down, and then attack one another fiercely. Shing Ashkook's tomahawk falls, and the two men struggle for the remaining weapon. Magua knocks the Mohican to the ground, but then Shing Ashkook flips Magua. Hawkeye and Hayward watch anxiously as Magua throws Shing Ashkook against a rock. Shing Ashkook lunges at his enemy's throat, but then Magua grabs Shing Ashkook's neck, overpowers him, and begins to strangle him viciously. With his free hand, Shing Ashkook pushes Magua away, and the two men tumble over one another down the side of the cliff. Hawkeye and Hayward ready their guns. Shing Ashkook punches Magua, and then the two warriors go for each other's throat. Hawkeye tenses as they stumble toward a small cliff above a river. Shing Ashkook scratches Magua's face. Their feet get tangled, and they fall into the river. Hawkeye and Hayward move closer as the warriors rise to the surface. With all his strength, Shing Ashkook forces Magua under the water. He holds his Huron enemy down until Magua's struggles cease. Shing Ashkook stares ahead in a daze.
Uncas.
Later in the woods, Hawkeye, Shing Ashkook, and Hayward have a service for Cora and Uncas.
Father in heaven, we ask you to receive them in your mercy and wisdom. This girl who's died on an alien shore. And this boy who's perished to save her.
Chingachgook turns to his son, who is on a raised platform wrapped in animal skins.
Great Spirit, a warrior goes to you, swift, straight, and unseen like arrow shot into sun. Let him sit at council fire of my tribe. For he is Uncas, my son. My fire is ashes. Your fire is bright. Now all my tribe is there, but one. I, Chingachgook, last of Mohegan.
Two Hurons tie rope around a stake in the middle of the village. The rest of the tribe sits in a circle, waiting expectantly. As Alice peers out Magua's tent, the Huron women point excitedly at the stake. Alice watches fearfully as armloads of sticks and branches are brought to the center of the village. Hawkeye puts his arm around Chingachgook.
Go to the trail, Sagamore, and keep watch.
The Mohican rises and walks away. Hawkeye sits on a boulder.
Uncas should have waited for us. I'll never forgive myself for letting him go after Cora alone. We still got Alice to think about.
I'm afraid it's hopeless. They've got her under heavy guard.
We still have one chance.
What's that?
The Hurons had a prisoner they prized more highly than Alice.
All right. I'll go.
They wouldn't take you.
Why not?
British officer. They've had him by the bushel.
There's only one Hawkeye, I suppose.
Well, they waited a long time for a chance to burn me.
Supposing they took you and wouldn't release her?
They wouldn't do that. Even they have a code of honor.
They'd shoot you on sight. You wouldn't get a chance to explain.
The wampum is the red man's flag of truce. They'll respect it.
Hayward looks over his shoulder, then back at Hawkeye.
You know these Hurons well. Never spoken to any, except Magua. We weren't exactly on speaking terms. Do any of them know you? Only at shooting range.
Hayward walks casually behind Hawkeye.
So the British Army is going to be cheated with the pleasure of hanging you, eh?
Afraid they will.
He lifts his gun and knocks Hawkeye unconscious.
Sorry, Yankee. Had to be done.
Hayward removes his red coat and then the rest of his uniform. Hayward, in Hawkeye's coat and goonskin cap, holds out the wampum peace cloth as he approaches the Huron Council House.
You know me?
Yankee's enemy.
I'm Hawkeye. Tribe brother of the Mohicans. My rifle, Killdeer, has slain many of your warriors.
Hawkeye does not follow Huron trail without long gun.
The long gun brings death. I come to ask for a life.
You speak with twisted tongue.
You have a pale-faced woman prisoner here. What are you going to do with her?
She die in fire.
Huron chief! There is no honor if a woman dies in your fire. Yeah. But there is honor if a warrior dies so. A warrior as great as Hawkeye.
Hawkeye! Will Hawkeye go to stake if you're in set squaw free?
I will. But you must promise that when I'm dead, you'll guide her to a place of safety.
Hawkeye, great warrior. His words are good. Huron, Thomas.
The Hurons seize Hayward by the arms and drag him out of the council house. Meanwhile, Hawkeye, dressed in Hayward's clothes, sneaks into the village. The Hurons crowd around excitedly as Hayward is tied to the stake. Alice bolts from Magua's house, pushing past the Huron guards.
Duncan!
I'm afraid you're a little mixed. I'm Hawkeye. Now, that's very interesting, Major.
Everyone looks at Hawkeye.
Or maybe I'm the Major.
Good afternoon.
Hey! Who are you?
Hawkeye.
He steps forward.
The man's lying. He's a crazy Englishman. Got knocked on the head.
This one come to village. Say him Hawkeye. Want to go to fire for you. Now this one come. One die, one live. Squaw no.
What does it matter? I'm the prisoner. Send them both away.
Hawkeye make bargain with Huron. Him die in fire. Squaw tell truth.
Alice looks at the two men.
I can't answer.
You don't need further proof than my clothes.
Many Yankees wear cap of skin. Robe of deer. Hurons never see face of Hawkeye. But no Hawkeye long gun. Bring rifle.
Oh. No, wait a moment.
Take squaw away.
No.
Alice is dragged back to Magua's house.
What is him up?
The elder hands two muskets to Hawkeye, who inspects them.
Fair weapons. Major, let's see how the British Army shoots.
Hawkeye hands the guns to Hayward. Across the village, a Huron ties a jug to a tree branch, then swings it back and forth.
There's your target.
Hayward surveys the distance.
You think you can hit that by firelight? We're not playing pitchpenny, Major. This is a shooting match.
Hawkeye hit it.
Hayward picks his musket and hands the other to Hawkeye. He steps forward, cocks the gun, and then aims at the swinging target on the other side of the village. Lowering the gun, Hayward takes a deep breath. He sets up his shot again and squeezes the trigger. The jug bursts into pieces. Relieved, Hayward lowers the gun.
Major, I'll bet that's the best shot you ever made in all your life. Well, try and beat it.
Another jug?
No. Jugs are scarce, that'll do.
A small piece of the jug is still attached to the rope. Hawkeye looks back at Hayward, cocks his gun, then aims. The rest of the jug is shot clean off the rope.
You, Hawkeye.
He turns to Hayward.
You creep into our village. Take squaw. Start. When sun come over hills, my warriors go look for you.
The elder moves away. And then Hayward faces Hawkeye.
I ignored your hand once, Yankee. Can I shake it now?
Hawkeye smiles, and they shake hands.
Bring squaw!
Alice is brought before the elder. She looks at Hayward, and then at Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Promise me something. You have till sunrise till they start after you. Sagamore's watching. He'll find you and take you to safety. My orders are he's not to come back for me. My orders, Major. Understand? I have your word.
Alice's eyes fill with tears as Hawkeye reaches for her hand. Lost for words, she gazes at him lovingly. They embrace. Hayward looks on enviously as Alice and Hawkeye share a tender kiss. Hayward steps forward and gently touches Alice's arm. She takes a last look at Hawkeye, then leaves. Hawkeye gazes after her longing.
Hawkeye, great warrior. When sunrise, my Hurons test his strength. Find out how great.
Hawkeye returns the musket to the elder and steps over to the stake. The next morning, the ritual begins. Hawkeye is strapped to the stake while the Hurons gather around him with torches. In front of him, two Huron women whittle daggers out of sticks. One of the women spits in his face. Other Huron women beat him viciously with reeds. Hawkeye stares ahead blankly. The torture continues as another group of women begin poking him with their freshly sharpened sticks. They are relentless, and Hawkeye winces from the pain. The elder watches grim-faced. Chingachgook, Hayward, and Alice arrive at a road.
What is this?
The Indies.
Chingachgook raises his gun as colonial troops walk toward them. Hayward approaches them.
What men are you?
General Abercrombie's column.
Where's your leader?
Captain Winthrop.
Captain Winthrop. Yes, but Mr. Monroe.
Oh, Captain Winthrop. Hurry.
General Abercrombie. Colonel Monroe's daughter is dead. Hawkeye's been captured by the Indians. Chingachgook. Lead the way.
The Hurons place their torches on the tinder beneath the stake. As the fire spreads, Hawkeye holds his head up bravely. Waving their muskets in the air, the warriors dance around him wildly. Meanwhile, Chingachgook leads the soldiers to the Huron village, where the fire is spreading rapidly around Hawkeye. As the smoke surrounds him, his head droops wearily. Hawkeye looks up as French, British, and colonial troops charge the Huron village. Hayward rushes toward the stake as the soldiers attack the Hurons. A letter from J. Abercrombie orders the Albany Military Hospital's commanding officer to deliver Hawkeye to His Majesty's court-martial meeting at the Town Hall of Albany.
Sergeant of the Guard, bring in the prisoner.
Hawkeye stands before several British officers.
You're charged with striking a superior officer, inciting to wholesale desertion and high treason to the crown. A formidable list of charges, sir. Major Hayward, you prefer the charges. Give me the details.
The charges, sir, are correct.
Each of them is a capital offense. Explain the charge of desertion, Major Hayward.
He did incite the men to leave the fort. However, I might point out that if he hadn't done so, those colonials would never have met your command to save them from an Ottawa ambush. And you yourself mightn't be here in Albany to pass judgment on him.
May I ask, sir, do you stand before this court as his accuser or in his defense?
Neither, sir. I'm merely telling you the whole truth.
Thank you. Now, regarding his seditious utterances.
Well, sir, I don't remember the actual words, but it was the heat of the moment that made them seditious, and not the thought behind them. He was concerned with the lives of the unprotected women and children in the settlements. I'm sure you'll agree that these are sentiments in accord with our British ideals.
And British action. Since you're so familiar with the case, Major, I'd welcome a recommendation.
Well, sir, personally, knowing the value of this man as a scout, and realizing our lack of them, I would recommend that he be enlisted in the British Army in that capacity.
What do you say to that, sir?
Well, I guess after all, we're fighting for the same thing. I'll join you, General.
Thank you. Charges dismissed. Court-martial adjourned.
The British officers stand and salute. Alice meets Hayward and Hawkeye outside the town hall.
Thanks.
Well, I've always promised him a taste of British justice. Well, we march to Canada. Goodbye, Alice.
Goodbye, Duncan.
Hayward leaves. Alice turns to Hawkeye.
The court of fall in. I always thought it was beautiful until now.
Well, this goodbye has been a little delayed.
Does it have to be goodbye?
Aren't you going back to England?
I have nothing to go back for now. I'm going to stay here in America.
But this is no country for a girl like you, Alice. We've got a job on our hands.
You know, it takes more than rifles to make a new civilization. It takes spinning wheels, too. And, well, that's a woman's way of being first. When you come back, I'll be waiting for you here in Albany.
Hawkeye looks at her and smiles. He pulls her close, and they kiss passionately. Then he leaves. The British and colonial troops march forward splendidly. Alice's eyes fill with tears as she proudly watches Hayward, Chingachgook, and Hawkeye bravely lead the soldiers onward. The End, a Reliance picture. This described version of The Last of the Mohicans was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Ramona Barker and Catherine Mockler, narrated by Don Jackson, and produced by Marco Sorn. For other described programs and audio cinema presentations available from Audio Vision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755.